Cities across the country have wrestled with changes to their public safety budgets in the wake of deadly shootings by police. And over the past decade, some of those cities have been building alternatives to calling 911 in non-emergency situations that involve mental illness or extreme poverty. One of the latest to take that step is Atlanta, as Lisa Hagen of member station WABE reports.
Preston Marshall works in Atlanta's Hotel Midtown. Lots of gold, giant floral wallpaper, furniture that looks like it's from the set of Mad Men. Marshall works in loss prevention at the hotel, makes sure it's secure for all their guests. And in his line of work, that sometimes means keeping people out.
In the past, the only option we had was calling 911 and calling the police.
He's had to do it a lot, but there have been times when it gives him an uneasy feeling.
My heart reached out to some of the individuals, especially knowing that some of them had substance abuse problems or some of them had mental illness.
But since earlier this year, Marshall's had a new option, calling 311. And that's where China Corker comes in. She's the referral manager with the Policing Alternatives and Diversion Initiative, or PAD. She's usually the one taking calls as they come in and figuring out which local agencies or organizations might be useful. Meanwhile, two-person teams head out. They're people who've worked in hospitals, in mental health, and even peers who have lived experience with homelessness or addiction.
So each team is assigned a van. We have it stocked with food, hygiene items, toiletries, all that. So that way, you know, we pass by these areas all the time. We're able to help people.
PAD helps people get medical care, deal with financial entanglements, find emergency shelter, or ideally long-term stable housing. Quarker says often people just need help applying for things like ID cards or other official documents.
Right now, we're right at 800, I think, for community referrals. And, I mean, we're expected to probably do close to 1,000 next year.
After a pilot run, the program went citywide in July. And since then, Quarker says things have been busy. They've diverted nearly 300 arrests, all of which is good and bad, according to Quarker. PAD is a small team working on vast, complex problems. They also make sure to follow up with community members who called 311 for a debrief of what was done.
What I've found is that it makes a big difference for us to call them back. It makes a big difference for us to be really transparent about that.
Moki Macias is PAD's executive director.
Our current system, right, which we have had in place for decades, is that the police department is responsible to respond to basically any concern, and that the expectation is that they will make that person disappear.
At least for a moment. But if that person is arrested for a minor offense, they're generally released with all the same problems they had to begin with, plus the added trauma of their time in jail. Macias says that's why a big part of PAD's work is community education, explaining that they're not there to make people disappear to a jail or a hospital, or force anyone to do things without consent, which Macias acknowledges can frustrate some people who call in expecting a quick fix.
What we are promising folks is that when we show up, we'll have a respectful, kind, creative, proactive engagement with the person, and that we will do our very best to try and figure out how we can reduce harm for that person and for the community that they're in.
There are a handful of diversion initiatives like PAD popping up all over the country. Albany, New York, Santa Fe, New Mexico, Louisville, Kentucky. Most are modeled on a Seattle, Washington program that started almost 10 years ago. Lisa Dugard is a former public defender who helped start the program in Seattle. The next thing Atlanta will have to learn, she says, is how to keep up with demand for the long haul.
The main comparative advantage that the policing system has always had, you know, in the popular imagination, is that officers come.
Day or night, the deal is eventually someone shows up. In contrast, in Atlanta and Seattle, these alternative services aren't available 24/7. Here, PAD is open from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. on weekdays. Another challenge, Dugard says, is that as more people learn about the program, it gets harder to show up on each call. She says she's seen how that can work to undermine the whole idea.
Lots of appropriate referrals are made, and then community members see that there isn't a response, and that tends to reduce people's belief and enthusiasm for the idea of an alternative, but they would have supported had there been a response.
Atlanta's PAD initiative was able to expand citywide because the city council approved a $1.5 million infusion. In Seattle, the diversion program's annual budget has grown to $13 million. Atlanta's police department, meanwhile, runs on $230 million. For now in Atlanta, Moki Macias is just trying to find a funding stream that will last long enough for PAD to show some consistent results. For Here and Now, I'm Lisa Hagan.